So look into your life, what is there, right? Scale back on those things that scale back to those things that count the most, all right? What are the things that count the most? Look at your life. God says, well, I spend 1/4 of my time with my homies, all right? We are just homing there, and you are all homing on your WhatsApp group and then going out. You look at the content of everything. It doesn't really add meaning, all right, and value to your life. Then you go out together, you know, fist cuff. But really and truly, is wasted energy. You know that some of that, you've got to understand you're investing here, right? Some people might have elderly parents at home, and they are doing homies with their 25 friends that doesn't add any value. They don't go and visit their elderly parents at all, but it's homies. So you must know where it counts. Many people are investing time, energy in what? All right, won't bring about real transformation into their lives. There. So it's important that you begin to invest this new space. We'll talk about that next week in things that have the highest impact. But you want to first clear it out. It just relaxes your being. It saves you money. It saves you energy. You have time, all right, for relationships that count. Even if it's just to sit down, okay, and stare. And I said it's about the first thing about law of rest, right? The Sabbath was a commandment from God to the Jews, and it was the first law to keep them healthy, right? Commandment. Now you won't see a Jewish person except there's maybe sinned or something, all right? Because they said that transgression of how did they put it? Transgression of the laws of hygiene affected the health more than transgression of moral laws. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means that God gave them, when he says to them, look, the Sabbath was made for man. God himself told us from the beginning he rested on the seventh day. So there is a law of rest. All right? Which means that you should rest. During the World War, the French had been defeated by the Germans. The British Prime Minister, as later recorded, made a foolish decision, as they record in history, that it was going to increase the work hours of all British miners and factory workers, that they would start working 7 days a week. They realized after some time that their productivity dropped drastically because they didn't have just that one day to rest. Rest is important, all right? You know, in this culture, when we say we are going on holiday, it's not holiday. All right? When the white man goes on holiday, he's going on a holiday. And they take their holidays very seriously. The holiday is a serious matter with them. They'll go on the beach and lie there. I know you might not be able to lie there because, you know, that's not what we're saying. Or they'll go to Thailand or go somewhere to Maldives and be with fish and all of that. You know, but when we say we are going abroad, it's increased tension. Because then you go, what you are going to do is too short. You now start working, think about it, calculating where the sales is and where the sales are not. This one is $15.99. That one is $14.39. The mathematics is more than the office itself. And then you calculate, tension starts. And then you check the money. $3.99.45. Okay. Mathematics starts. Then after the mathematics, you buy things. Then you carry bags. You know you are different when you enter the train. Everybody is reading and listening to her. Only you with bags hitting, you know, and all of that. That has some tension to it. Then by the time it's time to go home, excess luggage now. You are now on your way. Can you see the whole thing was just a stress adventure? I suggest maybe you should go to the Obudu Ranch where, you know, and just sit and be looking at the sun. There's nothing to buy there. There's nothing, all right? So just stay there and be hanging around, or go to, where is this Springs? In Ado Ekiti Abi. Or go somewhere. No, if they are near Lagos, they'll come back. All right? But go somewhere there. Because you carry again excess luggage at the airport, now you zip again. Calculations, that's again. Clothes, calculation. Then you finally board, then you are thinking of customs as you are landing. Stress again on normal flight. The food doesn't even taste well. Custom. What these people will trouble me, right? So sometimes you don't even have that, okay? And there's that law there. Now let's just see something quickly. about, and listening to people is very important. Look to Exodus chapter 18, delegating and listening to people. You think about it, it was a federal offense in Israel not to rest. Federal offense. Do you understand something? You know when was one, they say siesta by force. Uh-huh. Federal offense. That's how it was. You are not resting on the Sabbath. We mustn't see you in the office. By force, you rest. That was their own environmental. By force, because God knows that the body cannot continue in those 7-day cycle. God created us. Are you following what I'm saying? Exodus 18 here. Let me tell you this, Revlo Dollar told me something when I met him. We spoke for 45 minutes. And when people tell me things, when you tell me things, there's a reason why somebody will tell me. So for almost 37 minutes, he was talking to me about how he was diagnosed with cancer, how the lifestyle he had before that, how he will have 70 conferences in a year. 70. You know, for you to preach in 70 conferences, that means every week you're preaching a conference first. Then sometimes twice. And you still have your church service. You're flying from here, do 2 days here. He said that, look, Copeland called him and said, I was at a funeral service. It was you. He said, his wife told him, he said he pulled back. He told me how he cut back on everything. And that he started cutting. If you go and look at them now, when you see their event, you see space. Space to rest. All right? He even told me, he said, look, it was very severe. He said, once he gets to one point and his church gets to one level, he'll just tell them, you people, that he doesn't go and open other branches. That because he's trying to. And I started looking at this. We'll look at it there. That really, when we talked about voice of healing, we've heard this for years. But maybe we should re-examine what really happened. In the voice of healing movement, and they had great ministers. And I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, look, let's look at it well. And Hagin pulled out of it. But those, and he survived. And he came out and lasted. And Kenneth Hagin broke through. Between late 50s and early 60s, when Hagin really broke through onto the earth. And this is a statement I wanted to make that I forgot. The old evangelical said, if only we can get old heads on healthy bodies, the world will change. That what happens is that by the time people learn how to live life, they've wrecked their bodies. So what happens is the first few years, many people are running around in hustle. They haven't gotten it. By the time they get it, they are too tired. He said, so if you can get old heads and put them on young bodies. And what happened with Hagin was, by the time he got it, how this thing really operates around 50, 60, he was still strong enough. Those other men, they were doing, because, look, and I'll show this, the healing anointing was flowing. But let me tell you, even if God is flowing with his healing anointing, you call yourself back. And I'll show you from what Moses did. And it was flowing. And they were doing camp meeting after, listen, night after night, they were having large meetings, from one place to another. Of course, they got tired. They were worn out. Look at what happened to Moses here. In Exodus chapter 18 and verse 10, and Jethro, this was his father-in-law, said, blessed be the Lord God who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, and delivered you, and he blessed him when they met. And Jethro, in verse 12, Moses' father-in-law took a burnt offering and offered that. And then in 13, it came to pass on the morning that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thyself alone? And the people stand by thee from morning unto evening. And Moses said, hear what Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. The fact that they are coming to you doesn't mean you shouldn't change the way you are doing it. You get what Moses was saying? He said, the people are coming to me. Now look at what happened next. When they have a matter, they come to me and I judge one another. Now, Moses did not have any other concept of doing anything apart from that. And please understand this. God gave Moses revelation. He saw God, but God never mentioned this to him. There are some things that people will tell you. And when people come into your life and they advise you and they tell you things, listen. Are you following what I'm saying here? There was a day, I think somebody did something, it was John Braver, and said, he said he did something, God said, well, I told you. He said, when did you tell me? He said, go and meet your father. Just ask him now. What I told you now, just ask your father if you are in this situation, what will happen? He said, your father was to tell you. But you see, in Pentecostal movement, we spiritualized everything that, if it, you get what I'm saying here, that it doesn't come directly, all right? Now, look at what went on. It says, and Moses' father-in-law said, this thing that thou doest is not good. And then it went on. Go to 18 now. Thou will surely wear away, which means you are not going to last. Both thou and these people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee, and thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Now look at verse 19. He said, hearken now to my what? Voice. I will give thee counsel, and God will be with you. Look at verse 23. Go to 23. After I gave him the counsel. If thou shalt do this thing, and God commands, so then thou shalt be able to endure, and all these people also go to their place in peace. Verse 24. So Moses hearkened to the voice of who? Not God, though, his father-in-law. So if people come and they tell you, which is why it's important to have a mentor. I remember, let me tell you this, one day, and I don't forget, if you tell me anything, listen, if you write me a mail, except what you tell you is complete nonsense and you are abusing us, but if you write me a mail and you say something, there's somebody's opinion, I might not act on it immediately, but I keep it. I remember one day, this was many years ago, we just used to do Sunday service and I would preach my 2-hour message. So one day I announced, I came, I said, we'll be doing midweek service. One guy kept, he was concerned. He saw me after the service. He said, Pastor, don't do midweek. He said, if people came to meet you for midweek, they're not serious people. I'm telling you, don't do. He said, with what you preach on Sunday, 2 hours. He said, we can take it. Any serious person will be studying it from Monday till Saturday. That Sunday, he should be ready. What's he coming to do for midweek? What are they coming to do? He's enough. He now called the name of somebody. I'm calling it, all of you know. He said he just used to come and preach on Sunday. When he added midweek, he said his anointing dropped. What he was trying to say was, he didn't increase, he was still, because once you add to it, you either have to increase or get rid of something. You see, in Pentecostal circle, we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, that statement doesn't mean you can cancel everybody through Christ who strengthens me. It means by the wisdom of Jesus. Who through, you know, the strength of God is in his wisdom. For wisdom is better than weapons, better than strength. The wisdom of God that will tell you that I can do all things. Which means, listen to me, I can do all things through Christ. I can lift these 4 monitors through Christ who strengthens me. How? Because Christ will whisper, call these 4 men to join you, to carry you. You say, Pastor, give us scripture. Didn't he say, I've got a helpmate for you? You don't carry it alone. You call people to carry. And they will be fulfilled that they are carrying. So, do you get what I'm saying? So let me close here. Last thing there, apart from resting, is that never do anything in haste. All right? Second law here of keeping yourself in a stress-free life. Okay? Also, avoid toxic relationships. Very important. All right, and let me just say this here. The Bible says it's better to dwell on the rooftop or in the wilderness than in a house with a contentious woman. That doesn't necessarily mean we're just talking about women, but we have to also say that women seem to have a tendency to nag. So please, let me tell you this. In the light of what we're hearing today, you are destroying your husband if you nag. Even if the husband is not as you want him to be, nagging will worsen the situation. Nagging is like constant drops of rain. Okay, so if he wakes up in the morning and all he hears is, I don't understand what is going on. He woke up with 85% energy. By the time he leaves that house, it has dropped to 45. The productivity you want from him to bring money back, you have taken half of it. When he gets to the office, Go and check. Somebody told me once, said, when that our guy comes, we know when he has fought with his wife at home before he comes. That he will just, he will say, I fought with his wife, leave him. So you drain. That's why he says it's better. That it's better for rain to beat him on the rooftop, and then he goes to work. At least it's rain, it's on the outside, than for it to have sapped on the inside. And I have to say this. As a medical doctor who works with Benny Hinn and Copeland, and in his book, I can't remember his name now, he said many times people come to the office, couples, and you see the woman walking briskly. Good morning. And the man is dragging. He said, what has happened is that there's been a transference of energy in the house. Women would say, just pour out all the problems on the man. What happened? I know, after he finished saying, I feel better now. Where did that thing go to? The man, it has entered the man. Every day he's hearing those stories. Because every day you hear stories. Stories, stories, stories. By the time he sleeps after 1 week, his energy has gone. So, once you say those, I got it off my chest. Feels so much better. But somebody else has carried it. So please, when you have those things, get it off your chest to Jesus. He is the one that said, cast your care, for he careth. He didn't say you should cast it on your husband. He said, cast it upon him. All right, before you say, I don't understand. Why so quiet? Women talk. We have to talk. Talk. The man, All right? Then lastly, let me say, this last thing they say is, avoid doing things in haste. That's the second law. Now, if you eliminate this, and I remember Dr. Crefodola telling me this, he said, two things. He said, if we can get stress out of people's lives, and we can get their intake of sugar. And what happens is if stress comes in, people start taking things, put sugar in. They don't understand. They're trying to get that energy into themselves. So they complicate matters. Okay? All right? I won't teach on it. Maybe I'll get someone to teach on it. But we have to start developing a healthy lifestyle. But let me just say this about the one I know I will teach. Make it haste. Look. This is the way we have seen the faith. Please, follow this. You remember Jesus said there were 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The foolish ones spent all their oil. They came to meet the wise ones. Those ones said, we are sorry. You can't transfer that stress to us. Because what will happen is, we don't know when the opportunity will come. And we might miss out. Okay? Now, when Joseph interpreted the dream and he was 14 years, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. God did not say to him, therefore, Joseph, in these 7 years of plenty, spend as you want, for I will give you powerful scriptures in the years of famine, through which you will believe me for great abundance. He said, you will save 10% of this, so that when the time comes, so what am I saying here? When you don't prepare for things, and a lot of time in this part of the world, we don't prepare. You are doing something in 8 months' time. You don't prepare for it. 2 weeks to the time, you become a Russian. You start rushing around the whole place. You create tension on your system. You create anxiety. Long-term planning. Making projections. Doing things, little things every day. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So that by the time you get there, you are no longer doing anything. You understand this? That's what it means to predict. You look ahead, right? You've already arranged everything. And it is easy to do little by little by little by little. So you have 2 small children. You know they are going to start school in 2.5 years' time. If you put aside 10,000 naira every month, that won't be hard to you. Concerning their education, you will have accumulated something. Now, you don't do that. 2 weeks to resumption, you remember that you will pay school fees. The Maghrebo Shalagia Ngretoso, Tia Kriadaboni Angratasala, My God that supplies all of my need. Precious start. Even the prayer, you are, everything is precious. If you can eliminate that kind of behavior from your life. All right? Just eliminate. Look at it. What are the bills? Some people have to pay rent. Look, the truth about the matter is that then the rent is in 2 years' time. Let's say the rent is 500,000. Within the 2 years, maybe they even made a lump sum of 2 million once. And they'll say, it's still 18 months' time. We'll make this two, we'll make the path of the justice as a light that shineth. You mustn't say anything like manage, you know, shineth brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. The parent says, why don't we just take some of this money? This is what Jethro's father-in-law was saying. Now, go and check what you did with the money. We ask you. You can't remember. It's gone. Okay, so what do you do with the 1.5? Then you now transfer that stress to everybody around. Oh, I need 500,000. We are doing it. Oh, boy. You know the truth? If there's emergency, an unexpected thing happened, all right, we'll be the first to say, let's bail out. But you saw something coming, and you were misbehaving. And then you say that they should bail out. We won't bail you. That's enabling bad behavior. The prodigal son only came to himself when no man gave to him. You say, but my children will not go to school. Is that, it has never happened before? When they don't go for one time and they wake up and they ask you, Daddy, my other people, then you will know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
when they're asking you, Daddy, what happened? They told me they're going, I saw so and so in church. They said they've started school. What? Why are we not going to school? Why? You will. Listen, the idea you need to make that money will come to you. But let me tell you this. People don't know this. People are enabling people. Let me tell you, some people subconsciously have discovered it is easier to get money by begging than working, particularly in Christianity. Because when they didn't have money, they just asked somebody, and somebody signed 200,000 and said, no problem. 200,000 like this. Another one, 250,000 like this. By the time they get home in 6 days, 1 million, just by begging. This is a better profession than working. I didn't drive anywhere. I just went on WhatsApp, guys, I need help. Help the brother. And they said, give us account number. So they have developed that culture. Do you understand this? Some, that's the way their parents raised them. To be entitled, that the meaning of love is that when you misbehave, they will bail you out. So that's the definition of love. The authority figure is there to, if I misbehave, the authority figure gets me out. But people have got to begin to understand, all right, that life, right, if you have to learn quickly, right, conserve your energy, listen to people. If people advise you and say something, it's not that they are fighting you, but they just come and advise you on things. Listen to them. All right? They tell you that, look, why don't you just listen to what they are saying and be open to what they do? Do you know when we say that we want feedback in this place? Do you know how many adjustments have been made? Little things there. Listen to people. All right? And when you listen to people, of course, you have a few people that want to control your life. I understand that. You know, people that come, they want to control. But, you know, I'm telling you, if Moses didn't listen to Jethro, if Moses did not listen to Jethro, he wouldn't even have gotten to the place where he was striking the rock before because he taught him how to conserve, all right, his energy to be able to do things. Many a times, let me tell you, young people, maybe from you start living your life, maybe 25 year old, maybe it's around the age of 40, you get what this thing is all about. And if you've out hustled your body, you get what I'm saying there? You've out hustled, you've gotten to the point where you cannot. Or a robot, Crawford told me, said, or a robot. And Copeland told him, we made mistakes with our body. do not make the mistake that we made. By the time you realized, it was late. All right. So when people tell you and they advise you, all right, and tell you things, just, and you will have to give up things you loved in. Okay? There's no way. Just think about it. A baby loved toys, you give it up. And that's the way it begins to go up in life till you get to where you're going. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.